Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is John 17, 1 to 8. The Gospel according to St. John chapter 17, verse 1 to 8. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. My theme for reflection is when Jesus prays out loud. When Jesus prays out loud. It sounds almost amusing after all. Who doesn't lower their voice when praying? Yet in John 17, Jesus does the opposite. He prays in full hearing of his disciples around a table after supper with no quiet corner and no bowed heads in the dark. We are invited not merely to observe prayer, but to overhear it. That is the problem and the gift of this text. We often imagine prayer as private, defensive, or therapeutic. Here, prayer is public, relational, and mission-shaped. Jesus lifts his eyes and speaks to the Father about glory, obedience, and those who have been entrusted to him. The disciples listen, and so do we. At the heart of Jesus' prayer comes a startling definition. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is not postponed bliss or distant heaven. It is present relationship. To know God in John's Gospel is not to master doctrines, but to share life, to walk with Jesus, taste bread multiplied, feel water turned to wine, hear forgiveness spoken, watch tears wiped away. It is incarnational knowledge, text chored and embodied. Augustine once wrote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Jesus names that rest, knowing God. Scripture confirms this long desire. Through Jeremiah, God promises, "They shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." Jeremiah 31:34. What Israel hoped for, Jesus now lives and gives. Yet Jesus also names the tension. He is leaving and they are staying. The incarnation draws to a close, but the mission does not. "I am no longer in the world," he says, "but they are in the world." This is where responsibility passes to the disciples and to us. Resurrection is not the conclusion of the gospel. It is its ignition. Jesus entrusts his work to human hands, sustained by divine power. The Stoic philosopher Marcus Aurelius observed that we are most alive when our actions align with our purpose. Jesus' prayer clarifies ours. to remain in relationship with God and to embody God's love in the world God loves. Stoicism teaches disciplined presence. Jesus offers participatory presence. We do not merely endure the world, we are sent into it. Here lies both challenge and comfort. We are called to be Christ's presence in his absence, his voice where silence reigns, his compassion where wounds remain. Yet we do this under prayer, not pressure. Jesus does not send us alone. He prays us forward. So what changes if we believe that eternal life begins now in knowing God? What if Pentecost is less about fireworks and more about faithfulness? What if discipleship means trusting that Jesus' prayer still surrounds us? There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where in your daily life do you most experience knowing God as a relationship rather than a concept? Two, how might Jesus be inviting you to become his presence in someone else's world this week? And now our practical exercise for the day. Reach out intentionally to one person with a call, message, or visit, and practice listening deeply as an act of sharing God's relational life. Holy Father, we thank you that Jesus prayed aloud so we might learn your heart. Teach us, draw us into the life of knowing you, not as a distant truth, but as a loving relationship. As Christ entrusts the world to us, give us courage, unity, and compassion. Let your love be visible through our lives and your grace audible in our words. Keep us in your name and make us one for your glory. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.